Welcome all sports fans. On this podcast,
no sport is left behind.
I'm Justin Williams.
I'm Cabrera Duran, and this is our brother from Down Under.
Me, Wallace Bruce.
We are the Pro Sports Podcasters.
Filling you in on the latest news from the world of sports.
This is going to be our cricket challenge. Me, our cricket expert, is going to ask both Justin and I a series of questions. And Justin and I are going to do our absolute best to figure out what the potential answer may be. Is it multiple choice, Nee?
No, so how we're going to do it is actually a fun format.
Shit.
Yeah.
Damn
I'm the captain now. No multiple choice. So how we're going to do it is it's going to be one of you will get to start off.
Okay.
And I'll ask the question. If you get it right, we move on. If you get it wrong, the other person will have a chance to jump in. And then we'll keep score like that. You'll likely both get a chance to have a hit at each one, but we'll see.
Okay, we should probably let Justin go first. Him being of German descent, I mean, he's as far removed from cricket as you can be. I at least have Jamaican blood in me, so I should know a little bit. So we'll allow him to put the pressure on.
Thank you, because I'm debating. I'm like, is it a pitch or a field they play on? I don't know. We're going to find out.
They're both right, actually. They're both correct.
See, that is
good.
Crazy.
All right, Kobe, you're up. Next question.
Yeah, and I'm gonna stress it right now. I'm not gonna cheat. I'm not gonna look at my phone. I'm not gonna use. I am not gonna cheat, Justin.
Same, 100%. That's why all my answers will be number 3 or poutine.
Okay. All right. Let's go.
Okay. So, Justin, are you ready to play?
Yes.
You ready to go? Kobe, you feeling good?
I'm feeling solid, actually. I feel very in tune with the cricket pitch or field.
Well, just to help you out, typically the field is on the arena and then the pitch is the strip in the middle of the field.
Oh, okay.
I'm already confused.
It's actually two separate parts.
That's right. So that's what they bowl on. Anyway, before I give you any more hints and tips, Justin, the first question.
Mm-hmm.
What is a snickometer?
What did you say?
A snickometer?
That is correct.
My official answer is probably something that measures the speed of the ball somehow.
No. Cole.
Okay, well.
Here's your chance to enter.
Chance to steal. That sucks because I would have given the same answer as Justin. Okay, so hold on. Snickometer.
I think it's Snickers.
You might need a Snickers.
I think a snickometer actually... It's one of those devices that's used to measure the density and validity of the ball being used, correct?
No, also incorrect. It's a little bit more simpler than that. So, snickometer, also known as snicko.
This is bringing me back to engineering. Hold on a second.
Guy, you missed the question.
No. Let me speak. I mean, it's not going to count towards a score, but let me speak.
No. Let me see if I can bridge my frequency. It has something to do with sound, doesn't it? Is it?
It does, actually.
It does. Fuck. 4 years of engineering down the drain.
Snickometer it's audio and visual. So they use it third umpire. He's usually in a box off the field. He or she uses it to determine whether the ball has touched the bat. Because one of the ways you can get out is by getting caught, usually caught behind in this instance. So they need to determine whether the batsman's actually hit the ball or not. So they use snickometer as part of a replay. They run the frames and see as the ball's going past the bat, does it make a sound? And if it does, then they determine that, yep, batsman's hit the ball, you're out.
Very similar to baseball, actually.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so 0-0.
0-0. We move on. Cope.
Yes.
How many rounds are there?
What are the ashes?
The ashes. I've heard you talk about this before.
I should have been paying more attention.
Yeah, you've got to listen to me.
It's a specific tournament, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That is correct. It is a specific series.
But it's between two people, two clubs, or nations, right?
Between two nations, yes.
That's how it's played, Justin. I got it right.
Shut up.
So Cole, do you know which nations play for the Ashes?
Okay, so I'm going to assume it's England is at least one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And India.
Close.
Can I take a crack? Can I take a crack?
Yeah, Justin, yes?
I was going to go with England as well, and probably Australia, just because you're Australian?
It is correct. That's not why I went actually. That's not why I went with the question. So the Ashes came about, I think it was 1871 or whenever they first played Australia and England. And England, as the inventor of the game, they were seen as superior, but Australia put them in their place. They beat them. They won the series. And the newspaper of the day, I think it was the Times or someone like that, said, hey, this is the death of English cricket. We're going to pack up the Ashes, put it in an urn, and send it away. And then from there, that line became... They actually play for an urn, by the way. They play for a very small urn.
Oh, cool.
That's creepy.
A very small wooden urn that has survived the test of time from that point. There is a crystal urn, which they get to hold up, but the little wooden urn lives in Lourdes in England, London, and that's what they play for. The next series is in Australia in 2021. They usually play alternating series, so one in Australia, and then they go over to England maybe 18 to 24 months later. It's a nice one, Cole.
Thank you.
You hit that one through the covers.
Damn, good job.
You got the boundary.
Yeah, look at that.
All right, Justin, you ready for the next one?
Oh, I hope so.
All right. Well, you can still get in on this, so don't worry. Now, what does LBW stand for?
LBW?
That's right. It's not a car.
Large, beautiful women.
Shut up. No. No, that's not correct.
Oh, no. I remember you were saying.
Cool. Oh, okay. No. Okay, Justin, go with it.
No. This one, actually, no. This one is legs before wicket or something like that.
How did you know that?
Because in grade 9, we had that one English teacher who taught us cricket.
All right.
And that's all I remember was LBW because of BBW. It's not a good reason why I remember it.
Is that the answer? Is it legs before wicket?
Leg before wicket. So leg before wicket is a method of dismissal. And that is when the batsman is hit on the pads or usually below the knee in front of the wicket. So the umpire determines that the ball was going to hit the stumps. And it's kind of a way of preventing batsmen from camping or blocking the wickets. So
that is my one point for the day. Good night, boys.
I'm amazed you got that point. I would have never gotten that.
Cove, you ready?
That's because I played
I'm
it
ready
time.
And nervous now. He's brought it.
1-1-1 in the shootout. So Cove.
Yes.
What is the Dusra?
Can you spell that?
Can you use it in a sentence?
The D-O-O-S-R-A.
D-O-O-S-R-A. Dusra. It's got a very Aussie sound to it. It's got an Aussie sound to it. Shit, man. I have no idea. I'm just going to go random on this one. It is the maximum number of points a single batsman can receive?
Not quite. No.
Okay.
Justin, you can steal.
I was hoping he would get it. what you do when you get a... Like your celebration, I guess. I don't know. When you celebrate, is it a deuce, right? Like deuces, bruh. I don't know.
I don't like that, but not quite. So,
oh, shit.
This is a term for spin bowling. So, Dusra is it's like a Hindi or Urdu word, and it means another or the other one. Because when you bowl...
Another one.
So, when you bowl, the ball, when it hits the ground, it breaks and spins from the leg of the right-handed batsman. So, it kind of breaks away, and it's meant to trick the batsman. It's kind of like a curveball, if you will.
Okay.
And it breaks away, and it's, yeah, the way it spins, it really bamboozles the batsman, the bamboozling doozra, if you will.
So it's like a knuckleball in baseball.
Yeah, it's something like that. So it's really tricky. And South Asia, the pitchers tend to favor spin bowling, so the doozra is, you're going to see it quite often, let's say, in places like Sri Lanka, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. Shout out to India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. We know you're listening out there, and we appreciate you.
Okay. Still 1-1. Still 1-1.
Still 1-1 in the shootout. So this is question five.
Yep.
Cole, you are up.
Am I? No, Justin.
No, he just did his Dura thing.
Yeah,
I was
calling him first.
I was testing.
Calling favoritism.
And you passed.
Favoritism. Favoritism.
All right, Justin. What is a bouncer?
And we're not talking about the guy who throws people out of clubs, right?
We're not talking about the guy on a Saturday night.
See, that just seems like a pitch to me. Like, I'm going to throw a bouncer today. I'm going to go with that. It's another type of throw. Why not?
Justin.
How wrong am I?
That is correct.
Stop!
Oh, come on. That was such an easy question.
The bouncer...
I'm guessing it's a ball that bounces at least twice before it reaches the batsman.
Okay, now we're getting specific, Kobe. Nobody wants an engineer. We just want a general answer.
It's not quite. It's a ball that bounces very high. So it's a type of delivery, and when the bowler delivers it, he really throws it into the pitch and at a short distance. So when it bounces up, it bounces head high at the batsman. So it's coming up at the batsman's neck or head. So it's not a beam ball because it bounces, but it comes up at a similar height. And you don't use it that often. One, because it's kind of dangerous. But mainly because if the batsman catches on and swings early enough, he can really send that ball flying. So
there's a risk involved.
Yeah. But if a bowler is in the batting position, if the bowler's out there batting, it's not surprising to see a couple of bounces thrown his way. Bowled his way to, you know, let him or her know what's up.
I'd like to point out that my question involved a Urdu term, and Justin's was English.
Okay. Justin's from Germany. He's from Newfoundland.
Exactly. Hater by. Shout out to all our Newfoundland listeners.
So Justin is leading 2-1.
Yeah.
We are halfway through, by the way. So, Kobe, there's plenty of time to catch up and get going in this.
I love how Kobe and I both responded with a dread. Like,
I'm refocused.
Yeah, it's the innings break. You've had a chance to have some oranges and get a cup of tea. Let's get back into the second half. Kobe.
Yes.
What is a night watchman?
A night watchman?
That's English, Kobe.
It is English, so I'm feeling like I got a chance here. Night Watchman. I'm going to assume it's an official who is constantly gauging the how dark the field / pitch has become and decides whether or not the game should continue or if a different ball should be used.
No.
Shit.
I like the thinking, but not quite. When you hear the answer, it'll be different. Justin?
I thought a night watchman was when games are played at night, they have an extra ref thing person to help officiate.
Those are both really good attempts. I've got to give you credit for that, but it's not quite. So the night watchman is... pretty much strictly for test cricket.
Okay.
Because that's the form of the game that is vulnerable to the fading light of the day. Because the other two forms, T20 and one-day cricket, you can put on floodlights. I mean, you can put on floodlights in test cricket, but because the ball is red, it's a lot harder to see. But in this instance, a night watchman is actually someone who comes in, let's say there's a dismissal in the last half hour or the last 4 or 5 overs of the day's play, and the team batting doesn't want to send out the next guy in order. So let's say they're at the start of the innings, they've lost a wicket, and the third batsman in the lineup is due up. Instead of sending that person out and having to get them warmed up and ready, they send in someone from the bottom of the order. So let's say a bowler or maybe even a wicketkeeper, someone who's batting from seventh through to the bottom of the order. They promote them up just to bat out the rest of the day.
Why would they do that?
They just want to keep the higher-ranked batsman in the lineup fresh for the next day's play.
Oh.
So who is the night watchman?
The night watchman is the person that's promoted up the order to bat.
Okay. So in comparison to baseball, it'd be like a pinch hitter.
In a way, yeah.
Okay.
And the reason you do that is because typically towards the end of the day's play, the pitch is, there might be a bit of dew on the pitch. The light is obviously fading, so it's harder to see. There's just conditions that are not conducive for a long innings. You're just trying to bat out the day's play.
Makes sense. So just now we're way wrong.
Oh, 100%.
I did like the answers. I got to give credit for that. No hate on that.
I thought it was like, because the ball is so small and an arbitrary color, there's an extra official there to help watch during the night. Night watch.
All night long.
All right, Justin, this is your chance to pull away, buddy.
Justin. Oh.
Joy to the world.
You like this one. What are the nervous 90s?
The nervous 90s? Oh, God, I'm assuming this is probably for something to do with England's like inability to not actually make tournaments well, maybe? Not do well in tournaments?
Is that your final answer?
I'm going to go with no, now that you've said that.
Now that you've said it, that's definitely not it.
Well, no, it's not correct, so I'm going to give Cove the chance to steal.
Nervous 90s.
Every time you're watching an Arsenal game at the 90th second, you're like, somebody could score.
Yeah, that's definitely the nervous 90s. Is David Luiz going to cough it up?
I'm going to say the nervous 90s is a term for when the batsman is creeping up on hitting the century.
Oh.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yes!
Ooh, look at that. Good job.
The nervous 90s.
I totally bullshitted it.
That's right. When the batsman's crossed into the 90-run threshold and, you're starting to see their game be affected by the fact that they're close to getting a century. It's kind of, it's a goal for you would understand.
Yeah.
It's the yips, the anxiety. Some players definitely feel that.
Or it'd be like a pitcher in baseball, seventh inning, and he hasn't thrown a hit yet. He's on his way to a no-hitter.
Right. And then he proceeds to load the bases.
Correct.
So with the game the way that it is nowadays and a lot more power hitting in the game, I would say it's less prevalent, but at the same time, there's no science behind that. That's just my observation, generally. But nervous 90s is definitely impacts some players, no doubt about it.
Oh, Justin, you had a chance to put it away, and now we're tied up.
Goddamn. Now the pressure's on you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, Cove.
Yes.
What is Duckworth Lewis?
Oh, my God. Duckworth Lewis. So, it's a name. I actually grew up around a Duckworth family, actually. So, I'm going to say Duckworth Lewis is the most successful bowler of all time.
No. I like the answer, but no.
Okay.
Justin, you can steal.
It's a mathematical equation used for cricket. I know this from engineering.
What? How?
I think he's cheating. I think his internet's on.
Okay, Justin, explain.
We had a Sri Lankan, when we were learning curvature and curves under the form, whatever it is, somebody asked, when would you use this practically? And our Sri Lankan teacher pulled up this bullshit and was like, in cricket, they use this. It's a Duckworth thing. And it's a name I never forgot. I just didn't know it was going to be on this test. I don't know how to calculate it. I don't know anything what it means. I don't know the exact details. I just know it's math-based. That's it. If anything, I deserve half a point.
Justin, it is a mathematical calculation, and it is used when it rains. So this is limited to, okay, limited overs games, so one-day matches, and they might even use it in T20.
Okay.
But Duckworth Lewis is, given that they only have a day to play the game, when it rains, you lose time, and if you can't catch it up, then they put in this mathematical equation to work out a pass score and then what number of runs and wickets a team needs to be at, in, either in case it rains again and they can't come back out, or if they come back out and there's only a certain number of overs to finish the game. So in terms of calculating it, don't ask me, and also don't ask South African captain Sean Pollock, because in 2003 in the World Cup, I think it was the pool game against Sri Lanka, South Africa needed to win to get out and go on to the next round. It rained, and I remember on TV you're seeing Pollock and all these guys in their box. They're trying to calculate how much they need. They came pretty close in terms of the equation, but they actually fell one run short.
Oh.
So with the calculation, and they scored just enough runs to get to that number, but it wasn't enough. So South Africa was eliminated from the tournament by math, pretty much.
So essentially it's employed because one team plays out their entire, what is it, side?
Typically, it's usually after one team plays an innings and the other team is in response. And
then the rain starts, chases. Right? So to be fair, they work out this sort of bell curve equation.
Right.
Oh, a good answer, Justin. You deserve that, buddy.
Yeah. No,
I would have never got that.
I want to give a shout out to Lakehead. I want to give a shout out to Lakehead University's mathematical professor Icky. I can't remember his first name, but thank you for pulling this up 5 years ago.
So what's the score now? 2-2.
No, 3-2. Justin's
three,
got
two.
It.
3-2. Justin. All right. Mm-hmm. Now,
can I quit? Are we done?
Can we quit here?
We have three questions left. I will say.
Oh God.
Oh shit!
I would like to see something like that in baseball, personally. But that's just me.
Yeah, but I think with baseball, because it goes back and forth constantly,
that's true.
Both teams are affected, right?
You know something I don't like. This is a slight tangent. I know this is a cricket quiz, but I just want to get on my soapbox for a second.
Yeah, go with it.
I don't like this idea of one, in extra innings they throw on a runner at second, and two, the doubleheaders being seven innings. I feel like if it rains one day, one game, which is going to be played the next day, should remain at nine innings. And then the other one can be seven if you really want it. But playing seven innings is going to mess the statistics. And that's, baseball is the kind of game where the Hall of Fame is about statistics. They ding players, and this seven innings thing is going to mess people up. Anyway, rant over. Let's get back to cricket.
No, but just to expand on that. I fully agree with you, because baseball is statistic-based. And you're going to have seven-inning no-hitters.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
You're going to have a disproportionate number of runs because of throwing the guy on second base.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things that are going to just mess with previous achievements. Imagine being one of those pitchers that was like threw one-hitters or two-hitters, but never threw a no-hitter.
Yeah.
And now some pitcher is going to celebrate a no-hitter over seven innings.
Or even Armando Galarraga. He had a perfect game in 2009 through 8 2/3 innings. And then infamously, the umpire calls Buddy safe on a hit that was actually an out. It was a ground out.
Yeah.
Now, MLB has not changed that statistic, so I'm pretty sure that was turned into a one-hitter. But everyone has come out and said, that was wrong. That should have been a perfect game. So imagine that. And then fast forward a year or so, and then someone gets a perfect game of seven innings.
That's right. Crazy, right?
Mm. Anyway.
Back
to it.
Interesting
times. Back to it. Three questions to go, fellas. Justin,
oh my God.
I'm pretty sure you're up.
He is.
Wow. So this is kind of the...
Great. Any more math-based ones? So far, all my knowledge has been from other people dropping it on me at youth.
You're a good listener. You are a good listener.
And he retains it well, right? He's got that German retention.
Yeah, that German engineering.
Thank you. Thank you. Concentration.
All right, Justin. This is going to be a bit tougher, but
oh,
we're gonna see how, we're gonna see what you're made of. What is a man cad?
A man cad?
Yes.
It's like AutoCAD. I couldn't even tell you. A mascot? I got nothing.
M-A-N-K-A-D.
I have...
K-A-D.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the name of somebody? Is it a rule? Is it...
It is,
is
but
it a style?
It's,
oh, I got nothing.
It's named after someone, but you have to tell me what it is in relation to.
The first person to ever... bowl a perfect game, if that's a thing.
No. Cope, well, you can steal.
I was trying to take off the previous conversation.
Is it two words or one?
One word.
So one
M-A-N-K-A-D.
Word.
M-A-N-K-A-D.
Man-cad.
One does not simply man-cad often. Man-cad.
I'm going to say it's the term given to a bowler catching the ball and putting a guy out.
It's close. It's in on the right track, but no.
But
no. No. A mancad. So mancad is named after former Indian cricketer Vinu Mancad.
Okay.
Now, I believe it was when India played Australia in 1947. Mancad was coming into bowl. So I'm pretty sure you guys... you're aware of how the bowler comes in to deliver the ball. He kind of runs in and then has the arm ready to roll over the shoulder.
Yes.
So as Mancad is about to do that, he notices that the batsman who's at his end, the batsman that's walking towards the other end, has come out of his crease a bit early. So Mancad says, okay, I'm just going to run this guy out. I'm not even going to bother delivering the ball. So he quickly brings his arm down from delivering the ball and just knocks the bales off the stumps, breaks the wickets, and that is a form of run out.
Okay, wait, you've lost me. I can't picture what
I'm
you're talking
so
about here.
What?
So I'm coming in with the ball over deliver the ball over arm.
Yes.
But before I actually release the ball and deliver it, I quickly fake, bring my arm back around in a reverse motion and smack the stumps that are closest to me. Does that make sense?
So the stumps that are not at the target area.
That's right. The opposite stumps.
How is that an out?
It's not in relation to the batsman that you're delivering the ball to. It's the batsman at the non-striker's end. The batsman that is alternating.
He has to protect those as well?
He not protect the stumps, but he has to be within his crease or within his line. So it's kind of like getting caught stealing.
Okay.
So when Buddy leaves the crease, now this type of run out is frowned upon. I remember I did it once in club cricket, and I did it on a Saturday. The batsman was given a warning, wasn't declared out, but the batsman was given a warning. And on Tuesday night, the club president comes down and just has us sitting down and then just gave us the riot act. He was giving me the riot act, but collectively, and saying, yeah, we don't do that. So, yeah, the bowler comes in with the action to deliver the ball, but just as they're about to deliver the ball, they reverse their arm, bring it back in an anti-clockwise motion, and break the stumps at their end, catching the non-striking batsman out.
And this Mancad guy was the first guy to do it?
Yeah, 1947.
Cool. And you played cricket?
Yeah, sorry, I thought I'd mentioned that. Yeah, I played cricket.
For a club?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play. It wasn't first class, but yeah, I mean, Australia, everyone plays. I want to say everyone plays cricket, but a lot of people play cricket. So I played through school, and then, yeah, I played a little bit of club.
Were you any good?
I had a pretty mean delivery. I wasn't much of a batsman, but I had a pretty mean pace delivery. I can still roll my arm over.
Wow.
Yeah, so I can throw it down. I can throw it. Throw it down.
Literally.
Well, now I've learned something about you, buddy.
I guess I kept them on quiet, but yeah, I do like to...
You keep a lot of things quiet until it's
necessary.
Yeah,
he is. You're that kind of guy.
International man of mystery.
Some people.
One of the boys I went to school with played for Australia. His name is Nathan Coulter-Nile. He did very well. I think he's playing in the Indian Premier League at the moment.
Right on.
But, he broke my watch. I was batting on, and this is when you learn not to bat with your watch on. I was batting in the nets one day, and he said he wanted to bowl to me, and he knew I wasn't that good. So he comes in, he bowls his usual 130-240 km/h delivery. And I didn't really see it. So I kind of face up to block the ball, and then it just whacks my watch off.
Are we talking a Tag or a Timex?
I think it was a G-Shock. No, it was a G-Shock. It broke the strap, not the watch, just a strap.
Oh, okay.
But still, a break is a break. It's all learning. All right. Cope, yeah. This is it, mate.
I know, I need this.
This is kind of like your final over. You need to get the runs to stay in the game, otherwise...
So Justin just went away.
Oh, celebrating.
Wait, he's back.
Sorry, my internet just died there.
Oh yeah, I'm like, what? You figure you won already? You're gonna do a walk off? Is that what that is? He's like, I don't even need my last question. It's over.
I don't care. Like, I'll find out during the episode if I won or not.
Can you imagine that?
Text you guys. Oh shit, I tied.
All right, let's go.
All right. So. Cope.
Yes.
What does it mean when someone is stumped?
Me during this question.
Stumped. That's got to be a clean bowl that takes out the wicket. Like a strikeout.
Not quite.
Damn it.
Justin.
Can you use it in a sentence, please?
Of course not.
Stumps. And Kobe said it's not hitting a wicket. Is it hitting a player? They got stumped?
No, not quite.
Oh.
Sounds like you're closer, though.
Gave me hope. Yeah. Like, the silence gave me hope.
All right, what is it?
So when the batsman's facing the ball from the... that's being delivered, they move out of the crease, so they step to the ball, but then they miss, and the wicketkeeper catches the ball and then breaks the stumps with their hands while holding the ball.
Okay, because he's out of his crease.
That's right.
Well, dancing a jig.
Yeah, so the batsman dances on the wicket, misses the ball, wicketkeeper says, great. Collects the ball, breaks the wickets, batsman's out.
Does that happen a lot?
I think it happens a lot more in limited overs cricket, where batsmen are trying to force the issue with the run scoring.
Okay.
So you see it in one day cricket and also T20, particularly against slower bowling. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, that was a good question. That's a good question. I actually learned something there.
Nice. Good. All right, Justin. So here we are. This is the final question.
Yeah, just to add insult to injury. Oh.
If you get it right, it's over. If you don't, Cole gets one last bite of the cherry. You ready?
Bite cherry. All right, go on.
No nervous 90s round here, right? Even if you're born in the 90s. Say,
which, you know, some of the great people of this time were.
Were they? Okay. Yeah. I'm not aware of this. All right.
Rude. As a millennial, I cannot take your criticism.
So, Justin, what is gardening?
Gardening? And it's something I do outside, right? You want me to cricket terms.
I think I know this one. I think I know this one.
Oh. It's like, I don't know, like unofficial, not unofficial, but like. When you're playing youth cricket kind of deal, like non-organized but kind of organized cricket?
No. Cope, steal.
I think it's when the batsman specifically stands right in front of the wickets.
Elaborate further.
He uses his body to block the target area.
That's very, very close.
Shit! It's not close enough?
No, it's not. Damn no. It. It's when the batsman... The batsman is on the pitch, and the batsman is actually using his bat, his or her bat, to prod the pitch. So there's a couple of reasons why they do it. If the pitch has some bumps in it, they do it to flatten out the bumps. Or they could do it just to calm themselves if they're in, let's say, in the nervous 90s. Or if they just want to cheese off the bat, the bowler, just take a little bit of time, upset their rhythm. It's not really, it's not scored, it's not, not everyone does it, but some, yeah, it's just a term.
It's legal.
It's legal, yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yes. I'm feeling generous today, so we're actually going to give you one last chance to level it up, because I'm having fun here. I think we're all having some fun.
Oh, yeah, bonus.
Providing Justin with a chance to double me.
Yeah, so double or nothing. Exactly. Double or nothing. Because cricket is a game of 11s. You have 11 players in the team, so I think it's fair that we have 11 questions.
Okay, that's cool.
So,
there's only been 10?
Yes. And we'll probably be doing this again later in the year, so I'm sure.
No English.
Well, one of the questions was no English. It was anyway, what is a golden duck?
A golden duck. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the bonus question, Nee.
It's a restaurant. It's a restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. Shit. A golden duck. A golden duck. Game of 11s. I wonder if that was a hint. The whole game of 11s, 11th question, bonus question, golden duck.
I wouldn't go that far.
The Jack and the Beanstalk had a golden duck in it too.
A golden right? duck.
Oh, it's a golden goose. Sorry.
Is when a bowler bowls out the entire order.
No.
The silence is killing
me. Oh. I know. He just leaves you hanging for the longest time.
No, it's not. Justin, this is your chance to ice the victory.
So when I first thought of duck, I thought of Ducksworth, and I was like, is it something to do with water and rain again? So that's where I'm going to go, back to the pond, if you will. Mm-hmm. that watering hole, I'm going to assume it's when... I couldn't even tell you. I'm thinking like goose egg. I'm thinking of like any sports reference.
Goose egg? What's a goose egg?
Well, there's two terms for goose egg. Like if you ever get a like a hit on your head or something and like it starts swelling, it's a goose egg. Mm. If I can't remember what sport it was, but if you do something and it's zero, that's a goose egg. Like just basically a term for zero. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. I'll go with that. When something in cricket is zero. Of what? I don't know. Bowling, pitching, hitting. Overall game is zero.
I'm going to give you half.
Actually?
A duck in cricket is zero.
A zero for what, though?
So it's when the batsman is dismissed for zero. So you go out there to bat, and you're dismissed before you even score a run.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
But in this instance, a golden duck is when the batsman goes out and is dismissed for a duck off the first ball. That's when it's a golden duck. So it's often associated with bowlers at the towards the bottom of the order because the batting is not as sophisticated as their colleagues at the top. They go out to bat, and they're dismissed very cheaply off the first ball. And they're out there for a good time, not a long time. Just one delivery, actually. And as you can probably understand, if you get a couple of golden ducks as a bowler, you're probably going to get a hat trick. So, yeah.
Right.
Does that make sense about the golden duck?
Kind of, yeah. I kind of get it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a...
I need to see.
It's like if a batter goes out and flies out off the first pitch.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, or if they foul tip to the catcher off the first pitch.
So, given that you weren't a very good batsman, you would have been at the bottom of the order, correct?
Yeah.
So, have you ever had a golden duck performed against you?
I did have one or two.
Do they make fun of you or anything, or what's going on there?
Oh, they make fun of you even before they start bowling. it's sledging. They're like, yeah, this guy's going to get out. We're going to get him out quickly. Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right, so no, Justin, you deserve it, man. You deserve it. I don't know if you cheated or not, but I'm gonna assume that you didn't.
I mean, I did not, obviously. Considering half the reason was all like references from my childhood. And then, actually, I was on the wrong path till Nee was like, explain yourself. Because honestly, I was going to go with, like, I don't know, it's a bowler on a rainy day that does well. That was my original answer. So thank you, Nee, for coming.